to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're back again. You know, we had like a couple weeks where it was like back and forth.
Where we were here, we weren't here.
And then we weren't here again. And
I was going to be here, but then MG played.
Yeah, it was touching
the. They wouldn't let me in the studio. I was escorted away.
You were escorted away?
It was nice.
I can't imagine Southeastern PD like escorting you away. Like, no, I'm supposed to be in there. Yes, sir. Everyone says that. Like,
that's what everyone says. Everyone wants in the studio.
Who would say that, like, no, I'm part of the radio show.
Dude, like, you know how popular our radio show is? Everyone wants a piece of this.
I don't know how popular
I don't
our
either.
Show is.
So I'm assuming that we're basically superstars.
Anyway, this is Experience Points. This is Experience Points. This is a show where two lifelong geeks, myself and Red Bear here.
I'm actually a nerd, guys.
A lifelong geek and a lifelong nerd. We're here to drop knowledge on you and show you a good time with some good music and some good trivia and some good discussion. So that's pretty cool. We're on the interwebs, the intertubes.
We got a website, is what he's trying to say.
Bear, what is that website?
Man, it's been so long, I could say it. We have exppoints.com. Wait for it. Double tap the P.
Snap.
Oh.
We're also on social media. You can go to exppoints.com/social for all the social media goodness. I still am super lazy, and I haven't posted like the last 3 weeks.
You haven't even been here the last 3 weeks.
Dude, it's just been busy at work. It's been busy at school. It's been really, really busy. So,
By the way, we're past the point of no return at school. So you're stuck there.
Yeah. I have students that that I tell, like, hey, you know, it's midterm, so... You might want to think about things, but I love my students. They're so great.
I'm sure you do.
Anyway, I haven't gotten around to posting the last couple episodes of podcasts.
I mean, I totally could, but I'm even lazier.
And instead of getting online, I go to sleep. No. I also haven't updated the social page with the Patreon link yet. So
we can't even get money if we want
it. If you want to give us money through Patreon, please go to patreon.com/experiencepoints.
I want to write a poem for you and read it on the air. I think that was one of the prizes.
That's one of the things. Yeah, if you give us money, we can do things like give you shout-outs. We can take little images, like snapshot selfies with sticky notes of your name.
Let me take a selfie. I apologize immediately. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it's a horrible song.
God, it's bad.
It's like
I snuck into a set one time. It was hilarious. No one noticed. They're all too drunk.
Bad internet is bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I apologize.
Patreon is patreon.com, and then Experience Points is actually who we're under, and it's got some really goofy artwork. We're actually gonna commission some artwork.
I think we're
soon,
gonna commission.
Because
we're gonna do Bouncy Brown.
You got a really awesome thing.
DJ Red Bear. Actually, I'll throw that over to you so you can put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But Bouncy Brown Bear, she did that.
We'll put her link in the show notes too, because it was really, really good.
Dude, and she's awesome.
I imagine it's gonna be a similar style, because I really like that style of artwork and everything. It's like furry, but it's not furry. It's like whimsical.
It's cute. It's like, I don't know.
It's nice.
It's not quite Disney.
It's almost
Disney.
It's in between anime furry and gummy bears furry. Like, you remember the gummy bears?
I feel like we're saying furry too much on this one episode.
Furry isn't negative. First off, hold on. I'm not a furry, but I know people that are, and it's not a negative connotation. It's just that's what you like.
That's what you're into.
Like, people like Star Fox. Like, I think Star Fox is a pretty good game.
You don't want to take Star Fox home, though.
I don't want to take Star Fox home. Falco, though.
Oh, wow.
Or what was the chick's name? The one that they introduced late game? Crystal?
It
was Crystal, the one that had no reason to be there. Like, they took a totally boss flight sim game, like arcade flight flyer, and they added like some romance into it for some reason. Anyway, this is getting long. We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna cut to two songs, then we're gonna come back and we're gonna start the show with what we did last week. Actually, we're gonna do one song. I feel like we have a lot of stuff to talk about this episode.
We got a lot. Let's do one.
This is gonna be Power User by MC Frontalot. We're both programmers. We're both power users. This is MC Frontalot. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Of course, we don't need that much power.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Power User by MC Frontalot. Really awesome jam right there.
I love that jam. It's basically my life.
That's why
I like it so much.
You know, and it's not like we're being ill-modest. Like, we do some pretty awesome things with computers nowadays. Yeah. Whenever, like, people normally do pretty awesome things. Like, on the internet, whenever you do something really cool or whenever you orchestrate. Yeah. When you make a thing or you 3D print a thing. But imagine making the 3D printer. Imagine, like, building the software from scratch. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we haven't actually done that, but we should.
We've been out for a little while, kind of sporadically. So, Bear, you know, this is a segment. What have you been doing past, I guess, like 2.5 weeks?
Wow.
What have you been up to?
D&D.
Dig in the back. What kind of D&D? Are you playing, Shadowrun?
No.
Is it just straight D&D?
Is it called Planeswalkers? Yeah. Planeswalkers.
Dustwalkers?
Man, I feel like that's magic. Planeswalkers.
Princeton, Plainsboro?
Anyway, playing some D&D with some
friends.
You're
playing
that's
house
cool.
D&D?
House D&D.
At Princeton, Plainsboro Teaching Hospital.
Wow, that would actually be a really fun campaign. I would totally play that.
You have to play as one of the diagnosticians that work at our house. Oh, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, so that, my TV
exploded.
What's
your Australian accent?
My Australian accent? No, that's not Australian.
You could come in. You have can't even.
Is this
it.
Even Australian? I can't tell.
No.
No, this
no,
is
that's
like,
not.
Oh, no, this is kind of British. I don't even know what I'm going for now.
Well, first off, you can't say an Aussie is actually a Brit because they're not.
Well, they print their queen on the money.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway.
That was from House.
So what
okay,
did you
do? Did that. My TV exploded. Got a new one so I can get back to gaming. What else did I do? You got me on a hate train.
I'm sorry.
I hate you.
So
and all things.
Let's do a minor update. Because we were gonna make the show about this, and we decided not to do.
Yeah,
this
but I'm
yet.
On the hate train now.
Well, we may end up doing this once he cools down. So we
nope, too much hate.
We had a movie night.
I like the movie night. Movie night rocked.
Super bro movie night.
Super bro movie night. Version 1.0.
Yeah, version 1.0. We watched Alien from 1979. Ridley Scott. Really cool.
Yep. Always a great movie. Watch it now.
And then we watched Prometheus because you hadn't seen Prometheus.
I hadn't seen Prometheus.
You missed it.
I did.
And the general feeling on the internet was that Prometheus was kind of like a sigh, like, well, that was a thing, that was a movie, that was an ordeal, and it's not a bad movie until you start to think about why it's a bad movie.
Right there, and I will point that out. So we watched it. And I'm like, man, I don't see what everyone was so upset about. It was a pretty good movie. It was on the level of Alien.
Charlize
Theron.
We've
already seen that. Yeah, it was cool. It was fun. And then. Gil,
the guy,
has to go and continue to tell me everything that's wrong with the movie.
Well, because we watched Alien, and
right.
Then we watched Prometheus, and they're both effectively the same movie. Like,
well,
almost
the
exact
same
things happen.
Scene for scene. And then Prometheus is supposed to be the prequel to Alien.
Right, but it doesn't
actually...
But then
you keep pointing out that nothing lines up with Alien.
Yeah, like, everything starts to not line up. So, okay, here's the thing. People don't like the fact that Prometheus didn't explain everything. Fun fact, they actually are doing Prometheus 2. Like, that's in the works.
Okay.
But for, like, 2015, 16, 17, in the future, there's no plot details right now, and... So I you know, either and Michael Fassbender's going to be in it, so we know Dave is going to make a return, and either that means David as a Weyland Yutani android... A new one or the same one, it doesn't really matter. I don't think they're going to do much. I think they're trying to milk the series or whatever.
It makes me a little sad.
Because, like, well, the whole reason I was on an Alien kick was because I've been playing Alien Isolation, and it's pretty awesome.
Right.
And, you know, it's such a guy, and I didn't realize how true to the lore and true to the way everything was in Alien Isolation that it was to the movie. And now watching Alien again, like, all of the assets... You know, the crew that created it did very, very, very good job recreating all the feeling of the 1979
future.
Well,
that's good, but then they made Prometheus.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the same people.
It wasn't the same people. I'm not saying that. I'm on the hate train about Prometheus.
Yeah, and we'll do that.
I even wanted to like it.
That may be a B-side, an after-movie version 1.0 type of, you know, special podcast.
Are we actually going to do a special podcast?
Yeah, we keep organizing special podcasts, and then we never do them. We might actually do this, because this is going to be kind of a routine thing. We'll watch maybe two movies a night every month or every other week or something, and, you know.
We'll have a coupon day.
A coupon day. We'll clip. We'll get our nails done, and we'll talk about boys.
That was a reference to Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Some coupon day or something.
Day. Yeah, because it has to be accessible to everybody. Anyway, we're going to come back, and that was pretty much what I did, honestly. That was
the same thing as me. We were sharing our time together.
I modded my Xbox 360.
Word. I did that to my Xbox when I was in, like,
the original
ninth grade.
We're going to talk about mods a little bit later for our main segment, but we're going to cut to a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Counter-Strike, which is our retro game. This is The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton. This is the Monkey Save World version.
Yay!
So it's really, like, acoustic-y and stuff. Nice. Anyway, you're listening to Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Last week I was king, I can close my eyes, it's already here.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, Still Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton from the Code Monkey Save World. It was like a special kickstarted, I got the comic thing. And this was like something extra added on to it, so it was really cool.
That's nice.
There's actually a 2014 concert that was recently released on Spotify. You should probably look that up. By Jonathan Colton. He does a lot of the really hit songs.
Nerdcore.
Yeah, that's real, real good. I like Jonathan Colton.
He's legit.
He's contributed a lot to the nerd geek folk song community.
No, you don't say.
No, he has.
Yeah, he has.
All right, so we're going to talk about a retro game. It's a game that's like probably one of the most widely and most played games ever.
I'm probably going to say, I have no documentation, but I'm probably going to say it's the most played game ever.
I don't know, StarCraft. So you get StarCraft.
Oh, you have Korean StarCraft.
You got StarCraft, and then you got Counter-Strike. So we already talked about StarCraft a couple weeks ago.
I feel like Counter-Strike's probably played more, but maybe because I'm more of a fan.
I feel like Counter-Strike's more accessible and easier to just pick up.
Yeah.
Like, it's a first-person shooter, and
you
I think
things.
there's less, it's like, if it's blue, you shoot it if you're red. If it's red and you're blue, you shoot it. You know, it's like, those are the only real... I mean, again,
bombs
like, I'm not good. Bombs at B.
Bombs always
terrorists win. No. Anyway, Counter-Strike. This was released by two guys originally. It was a mod.
Yeah, it was a mod. Speaking of mods.
A software mod for Half-Life. This was released back in 1999 by Guzman and Cliff. Or Clife. I can't really. I'm going to say Guzman and Clife. Or Guzman and Cliff.
Sorry for butchering your name, sir.
Yeah, our bad, dude. I mean, I'm sure you're rich enough. You can send me a couple dollar bills.
Are you going to be like a jerk when you find out he's like living in a box under a freeway?
He better not be, because these guys, they released this game as a mod to Half-Life back in 99, and then they were bought. They were hired by Valve. They weren't bought. It's not like they're slaves. They were bought. They were hired by Valve, and the IP rights to Counter-Strike were purchased by Valve, and they released Counter-Strike in 2000. So it was that big of a thing. As a mod, these guys were purchased. Same thing pretty much happened with Portal, except it wasn't a mod. It was a...
Portal was made in-house originally.
Portal was originally Queen Narbonacular's Journey or something, or Queen Narbonacular. It was a college thing.
I learned something new.
Yeah, it was a college project that got awesome real quick, and Valve saw it and they hired the entire team. So this was sort of the start of that, or one of the starts of that. They hired these two guys, and Counter-Strike has sort of its history. It's been history ever since.
Oh yeah.
It's seen several iterations since 1999 when it started, and it's been released on a ton of things.
And people have very strong feelings about which iteration you should play.
Oh yeah, there's such a there's
the 1.6 hardcore crowd.
There are like three or four camps.
Oh yeah,
there's 1.6, and that's,
you know, 1.6. You know that camp.
1.6.
These are the guys that are carrying on the CRT monitors because of the refresh rates.
1.6 was like Half-Life or Counter-Strike original. Let's just say original version of Counter-Strike, and then there's Source. Which
came
features,
out with Half-Life 2.
Yeah, and it features a Source engine.
Right. Hitboxes are wrong. Hitboxes are wrong.
new Source, new physics engine. Really, really
recoil's
cool.
Recoil's wrong.
Then there was Condition Zero after Source, I think.
Well, wasn't that was the single player pack.
That was a single player pack, but there was some stuff to it, like multiplayer ability to it. And again, like I'll go ahead and I'll say it. I'm not an avid Counter-Strike player. I think I own three of the versions.
What is wrong with you?
Well, so I like playing first-person shooters. It just got a little monotonous after a while.
Well, I will say, I haven't played Counter-Strike, honestly, in a little while. It got me through high school. High school and half of college.
Yeah.
And then we all played Urban Terror.
Which is pretty much...
Which is Counter-Strike,
but it's free.
It's
Quake 3 Arena, but Counter-Strike Edition.
Right.
So yeah, the cool thing is that Counter-Strike...
And you have CSGO as the new one, Global Offense.
Yep, and then there's Global Offense, which I've heard is really, really good. It's just, I'm not going to pay
$30. I played it a little bit, but it's...
It's different?
Well, it's different.
It's different.
I'm that old guy, so like, this isn't Counter-Strike.
Well, back in my day,
we didn't have a public market thing that changed price on weapons and levels and stuff.
Yeah, I don't like how that happens.
No, and that's my problem. Honestly, that's my problem with all modern-day... First-person shooters is you have this leveling system, and that's part of the point in a first-person shooter is everyone was the same and equal, and it's whoever's better is better.
I guess there's like this idea of introducing dynamicism into a game.
It's stupid.
It's like, we're going to let the real world affect, you know, like affect the game world, and that's cool, except that it's not. Like, it's cool when you do it in college for your thesis project or whatever, for your capstone.
But whenever you do it, it's cool.
Yeah, I feel like you should choose. There should be servers that have that on and servers that have that off. But the cool thing is that Counter-Strike itself can be modded. So, like, it started as a mod, and it still is a mod, and there
Valve
are mods
so nice
to it.
About letting us mod things.
Yeah, Valve's really great. They've done... This is one of the core games, you know? There's Half-Life, Half-Life 2, there's Team Fortress 1 and 2, or Team Fortress Classic and Team Fortress 2, and then there's Counter-Strike. And they've done a lot to make sure that this game is as accessible as possible on every platform, or at least the three big platforms.
Yeah, let's see, Xbox, PC, obviously.
Well, not even PC. PC, Mac, Linux.
Mac, OS X, Linux.
This was their big push behind their SteamOS initiative and their Linux initiative. I think at last... what was it called? LinuxCon or Linuxtopia or Linuxpalooza or whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called. But
LinuxCon.
At the last one, Gabe Newell was there and he was like, "Yeah, we're doing better stuff for Linux." And everyone's like, "Roar of laughter!
We love you!"
So that was good.
Half-Life 3, Linux exclusive.
Linux exclusive, man. That'd be...
Dude, wouldn't that be it?
That's Half-Life. It's confirmed. so the thing is, when so many people play this game...
Let's talk about mods, though, on this. So it is a mod. You know, the problem with mods is you get cheating.
Yeah,
cheating. You have access to all the code and all the fun stuff.
Cheating's bad, and...
So that's always been a problem with Counter-Strike.
Let's go ahead and break it down real fast. Like, because I played Quake 2...
Okay.
Break it down.
That happened.
Who lets us on the radio? Like, seriously.
They haven't stopped this
yet. Where's the quality control?
Gosh. Wow.
Anyway, so like I played Quake 2 a lot back in the day, and Quake 2 had a really cool thing called Grapple Mod. And you could hit tab or tilde, whatever it was, tab, because tilde open console. You'd hit tab and
that's
it would like shoot out, it would like shoot out a straight line, and it would like pull you like a fishing line.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
a grapple.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. But the bad thing was you could do that on some servers without Grapple Mod installed if you had it installed locally. And that was cheating. Because you were able to get really long distances in almost no time. No one could hit you because you were refreshing differently on their screen than you were on, you know, yours. So let's go ahead.
Oh, your cheats amuse me.
Let's go ahead and talk about some of these cheats, because these are some of the cheats that are... These are like these are the pinnacle of cheats, because...
Wall hacking.
Wall hacking is
number
like...
Number one.
Wall hacks and aimbots. That's the
two big ones.
Yeah, the two big ones. So
wall hack is... It basically just takes the textures off the walls, so you have like a grid, like a wireframe. So
right.
You can see everyone.
You can
everywhere.
See where there's a wall, but you can see through where there's a wall and see where people are running. So you know when you're going to headshot people.
Right. Well, and you can shoot through the walls anyway.
Right.
So,
now, so the reason that this works, or the way that this works, is that the server isn't doing all the work. The server is just telling your computer, player position, player health, player weapon, you know,
just
bullet trajectory.
Bit of data and then your computer does all the hard computation.
Right, your computer does all the hard computation. This is what Minecraft, they do in Minecraft when they've got texture packs. It's just translucent texture packs where instead of just having a blank or a really annoying fuchsia colored like texture, you could just see through it. So that's bad. Aimbots. Are still really big in 1.6 at least, but these are like auto aim, auto shoot type of hacks that using pretty rudimentary math actually, because it's sort of like brute force math. It knows where that other player is.
It has all the data to just put a bullet there.
Right. So it just puts a bullet in like the hitbox.
Yeah.
The hitbox.
Doesn't even
matter. Yeah. So that's pretty bad.
No recoil, no spread. Those were two big ones, because you could sit there and just, instead of spray and pray, you just hold down the trigger and there's no real repercussion
right.
for
where,
it.
Right, where you click is where the bullet is, and no recoil is sort of no spread is sort of the same thing. You can get a shotgun, which is it's an expensive weapon, you know, with recoil typically and with time to fire and reload, but it's a good weapon for damage, especially with close quarters because of the spread. It kind of hits everything, but if there was no spread, then effectively it's an expensive weapon that totally pays off when you use it with this cheat.
Right, right. And then the other two big ones that always got my nerf was the bunny hop mod, where so when you jump, there's actually a slight kind of a speed boost if you do it right.
Right.
So you just make a script to sit there and jump as soon as you hit the ground, and you get the speed bonus the entire time, make you ridiculously
so
fast.
So it's like a speed hack.
Kind of like your grapple mod, where it'll move ridiculously fast. And of course, no clip, and that just sucks.
No clips is where you can just fly around. You could stay inside like the wall where no one could see you, and then like pop out. And there's no real way to kind of, you know, get that. But so Valve has implemented Valve Anti-Cheat. And this is supposed to like ban your client or ban you from a VAC server if you find out.
Yeah, how's that work? Is it actually if you get reported or?
I think it was. Okay. So we're reading right here. So the ban with the first version, this was awesome. The ban was instant, and you had to wait 2 years to have your account unbanned, which is really cool. So later, I think it was a delayed bans. Wow. So if they find out that you've been hacking, they'll wait a little bit, then ban you. There's a voting system. There's a bunch of stuff.
Basically, if a whole bunch of people start saying, "Hey, you hack," then you hack, and you're gone.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and end out this segment. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about modifications to all your stuff.
All the things.
Did you know there was a big announcement? iFight Dragons, December 21st, they're doing a big release show. This is the actual release for the near future. So
can I go see it?
It's in Chicago. And I'm already going somewhere on the 21st.
Oh, dang. I thought you were.
Well, it's in like Baton Rouge, but it's like a family thing.
Oh, you have family.
Yeah, I do. They love me sometimes. Anyway, so the near future, it's going to be really cool. Digital download should go live.
It's actually coming out.
Yeah.
In the near future.
Now, we actually do have a track, though. This is Chicago from the near future by iFight Dragons.
All right.
Stick around because it's going to be a good next section. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Oh, Chicago knows how small we are.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points. That was Chicago from the near future by iFight Dragons. Again, December 21st, mark it on your calendar. This year, they're going to be releasing the digital, the physical, and they're going to be actually having a concert in Chicago for the near future. It's the album. It was called Project Atmos. Project. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, they had a different project name, and then
it's
they
the
changed
soon,
to
it doesn't matter.
The near future, not
that
the future
thing.
Soon.
That's Jonathan Colton.
Yeah.
Ignore me. Getting late. I'm tired.
That's okay.
And
that's
I'm
okay.
Out of Monster because I drank it all at movie night.
Yeah, movie night was pretty fun.
Man,
we are going to talk about our primary section. This is mods. So we're going to start with
how
software
moderators.
We
hope they're not around.
No, we hope they're not here. We don't need your censorship.
Definitely nothing going on in this thread.
Anyway, we are going to talk about mods. So let's start with software mods. And this is like the mods. These are mods like hacks, like wall hacks or whatever, that you I think it was called Project Atma.
Atma. I'm going to agree with you because if I say it with enough confidence, it makes it true.
I kickstarted it, so I think it was Project Atma.
You should know what you're throwing money at.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about software mods. These are cheats, hacks, or any other pieces of software that typically
add... Or graphics packs. Like,
texture packs.
Yeah, for like Skyrim.
Yep, or for Grand Theft Auto 4. Or
Crysis.
Not that it needs it, but so these are pieces of software that are installed that give the game some edge, whether it makes an old game look like it's new. Deus Ex.
My gosh, the HD director's cut thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Deus Ex has one. There's one for Oni from Bungie, their third person martial arts fighting game,
which was fun.
So yeah, it was really good. So these are mods that make old games look like they're more recent. Free Space 2 is one of the ones. I love that game. It was like Star Citizen or Elite Dangerous before the last 10 years, and I think it came out in like 1999, and it was such a good game, but it didn't age very well. So there's a dedicated community of modders and texturers and people that go out there, and once the source code was allowed to be given away, they went to it. So I mean, like for $5 you can get the game on Good Old Games and download it and then patch it with all these extra things and mod it to heck and back. So it'd be really
game.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, that's good.
That's what just software mods. Let's talk about
We already really talked about the cheating, the wall hacks.
We're not really gonna mess with that too much. Now let's talk about like for consoles. Let's talk about what a soft mod is for a console. Because typically you never there are certain sects out there that sects sects that that take an ISO or a game, make an ISO, and then mod the ISO so that when you play the game, maybe you've got extra health, or maybe you've got a million guns,
or whatever. Well, that's something I guess
whatever.
You could do with the Dreamcast easily.
You could do that with the Dreamcast, and if you mod a console, you may be able to load Homebrew or something and do it with a console. So let's talk about a soft mod. You said you soft modded.
I had my original Xbox back in the day. I had soft modded that. I'm trying to remember the
big
name
the
of
big
the
fat Xbox.
Yeah, the one that looked like it belonged to the ISS.
Or the thing that they found in 2001.
If you turn it on the side, it was actually the monolith.
It was the monolith. It was a scale replica.
Wow. But yeah, so I didn't get a mod. There was two ways to mod it. You could soft mod it or buy a mod chip and break it apart and solder it and everything.
Yeah.
So that was the difference. The soft mod would go in and you'd load a ROM next on the same chip as the ROM that it would normally load.
So it was like a USB key on your controller or something that would...
Well, no. You would actually... You would end up installing it directly to the actual chip on the board.
Oh, okay.
You would
okay.
rewrite the chip. And the way you did this, there was an exploit with some games.
Was it
the way
like Mech Assault or something?
Mech Assault was the one I used. There was a James Bond game that would do it.
007 Agent Under Fire. I remember that.
It was... And it was the way it would write out the save games. So you could put this mod in as a save game and load it. So it would load it, and then it would go about and deliver its payload
nice.
To the actual console.
So
console.
It backdoored itself in.
Exactly is what it did.
Nice.
So then, but the mod made the Xbox so much nicer. It would allow, it gave you all these codecs for playing video, gave you a new video player, whole new interface. Oh, Xbox Media Center, that was the mod I did.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah,
and I actually loaded some other Linux distros on through that. You could also, because you could boot off other things from it. So
awesome.
That was fun. And give you FTP access to the Xbox.
So you didn't have to. You didn't have to keep it broken open.
No,
or you never really had to open.
Plug into your network, FTP in.
Nice.
And then in the hardware side, I just changed out the hard drive, and you could load all the fun stuff onto this Xbox, and it was like a modern day console.
So like the right back in 1998.
Yeah.
So like the main idea behind a mod for a console is. Let's ignore the cosmetic mods. We're going to talk about those in a second.
We'll
but a soft
there.
Mod, we kind of jumped ahead with soft mod or whatever. A soft mod, you know, you don't compromise the warranty, physically at least. Because, I mean, like,
let's just put, you're voiding some warranty and something. When you mod something, that's pretty much what you're doing. You're voiding a warranty.
Right, but you're doing it to achieve a level of service.
But you're saying you're not, a soft mod tends to be a little, well, I don't want to say
it's
safer.
It's less invasive. You know,
you're not opening the box.
Because I know a lot of people, whenever they're like, oh, you're going to mod this? Okay, take out the DVD drive. All right, scratch out these traces and wire a switch to these traces on the bottom of the CD drive and so that you can turn it on and off so you can play Xbox Live. Like, that's a lot. You know, if you mess up, you just bricked your entire system.
Well, you can still do the same with a soft mod because if you screw up this install and corrupt the actual OS on the box, then you're done.
You
got a brick. It's why it's called bricking.
I actually soft modded my Wii a while back.
Nice.
There was something like a time bomb or a letter bomb hack. That's what it was called. Letter bomb hack. And what you would do is you would grab your MAC address and you go to the letter bomb website and you could email the Wii via the MAC address. So it would send you a letter bomb in like Wii mail. And you would open it on the Wii, and it would just install it on the SD card, and it would allow you to put custom channels. So I have all of my Wii games that I have. They're legally obtained discs. Like, I have the discs I bought from GameStop.
And that is a reason to do modding, because discs are stupid.
Oh, yeah. So, what we're saying here is if you do this the wrong way, like, if you do it for piracy reasons, like, you could totally pirate games. You could download ISOs off of, you know, torrent sites or Usenet or something.
However you kids these days obtain such items.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally possible. But the reason I did it is I hate messing with disk media. It gets scratched, it breaks, the drive dies, you know, there's a ton of things that could go wrong. So I love having discs. Yeah, discs are dumb. So I went ahead and I made it so I could just boot off a USB for the Wii, and it's just installed on the SD card, and it's totally cool. And if I take that SD card out, like, it has no idea that it was ever modded,
which is
really cool. Same thing with I actually have it done with the PS2 as well. I have a FreeMcBoot.
Nice.
FreeMcBoot's really awesome. It's on the memory card, on a PS2 memory card, that I think I installed it via USB onto the memory card, and it allows me to use HD Loader. So I have a network. I have a fat PS2 with a drive and an old IDE hard drive. It's like a 300 gig hard drive with the network adapter, and it's able to do it. So that's cool. Those are soft mods. You're not soldering anything onto the board.
You don't have to take out any screws or anything.
So hardware mods are what they would seem to be typically.
And I always love that though for hardware mods. Whenever you start modding a console or something, because you always take out screws and you see the piece of tape that says void if warranty
it,
void if
it, it
sealed
says warranty
broken.
Void or it says void, and when you take it off, it like just
it leaves
the
void,
word
void.
Right.
That's the best. That's when you know it's getting
when
real.
When you've done that, you're like, bum, bum, bum. Time to do it.
You're basically Tony Stark at this point.
Start the Aphex Twins music, yeah. And let's get ready to jam. Where's the smoke and the LEDs?
The lasers. And, yeah.
Yeah. It's that section of...
that's how I feel.
It's whatever. From Swordfish. Yeah. That's how I feel it is. You're
pretty
drinking
much.
Wine and you're modding an Xbox. I actually modded my Xbox 360 recently.
Ooh, nice.
So like I never had an Xbox original, but I'm I always
sorry,
wanted one.
Because that was such a good console.
I always wanted one. I found one a while back and it was like $20 and I could have totally got it. But then I'm like, man, this controller's huge.
Oh, did it have the original?
It had the original
like the
big,
dinner plate.
Yeah, it was big.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I modified my my original or my Xbox 360. It was an Xbox Fat. Xbox 360. I had loaned it out to ACM a while back.
Oh, they did make a Slim. I forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. No, I own a Slim, and that one will always be just normal, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had this Fat one. That was the original one, and it was, like, lost. I thought someone had stolen it. But it turns out it was just, like, in the ACM cabinet, like, in the back of the ACM cabinet.
Oh, wow.
So I went
back. We don't go in the back of the ACM cabinet.
We don't. It's practically Ravenholm. So went back there to help him clean it out, and I saw there were two Xboxes back there, and one of them looked just like one I had. And I didn't have anything about it, but I called the department head, and he was like, no, it's probably yours, so you can go ahead and take it. So I'm like, sweet. I plug it in, and it was my Xbox. It still had my profile on it, but this dashboard was the original dashboard.
Yes, because I saw you booted it. Yeah. I love that dashboard. The blades?
Yeah.
The blades were the best.
It was the original dashboard.
Why did they get rid of that?
So I updated it all the way.
I miss blades.
And I actually have a hardware mod in there. It's a solderless hardware mod. So it's actually...
Well, that's something to talk about.
It's the X key. Yeah, so there's soldering.
Yeah.
Where you actually... wire things manually to the board.
And a lot of these hardware mods, the way they work is you have a chip, and you literally put it where the chip on the board is, but before the traces would hit that chip. So the electricity goes up and hits that, and it boots before the ROM on.
And I guess that's a good thing,
boots.
You know, because if it ever breaks or you ever want to take it back, you just pry it off.
Yeah, just take it off.
Which is pretty cool, I guess. So yeah, there's soldering mods, and then there's solderless mods, and that usually has some pass-through type of capability where you take the wires off the main board that go into something, like in this case it was the DVD drive, and instead of going to the DVD drive, it goes to, I used an X key, XK3Y, yeah, X key.
Nice.
It goes to this little board, and then the board connects to the drive. So it's like it can go into full pass-through mode, and it's as if there is no key.
And your mod, what it does is it just fakes the CD drive.
Yeah, it does. It does DVD drive emulation.
Yeah.
So what I did was I took one of my drives, and again, it's kind of a annoying process because the whole point of doing this mod for me, again, I don't want to pirate games.
Well, once you get into modding, you're not doing it for necessarily convenience. You're doing it because it's fun.
That's one part of modding. I was talking to my boss the other day, and he was saying, you know, oh, I might want to get together and do this with my son, and
yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
That's really cool. Like, it gets people interested in technology because on one side you're like, oh, I don't have to get up and change the disc. It's full laziness after that. But
it's
once and it loads faster and you don't have to worry about getting your discs all messed up. In this case it is a little annoying because in order to like take a disc and make it from disc to ISO, you have to do it on an Xbox drive. So you have to take the drive, connect it to a computer, and then load up special software and dump the ISO, and that was a little annoying. It was a long process, and you know what? I don't
but
like.
You had fun doing
I
it.
I did have fun doing it, and I only did it for like the 10 Xbox games that I have. But I felt like I was doing something illegal when I was doing it. And maybe it is illegal to back up your media like that.
I'm pretty
that.
Sure it actually is.
But I'd
have to dig through regulations. But I think that's actually because you're ripping. And because I remember when CD, like, audio was a thing.
Yeah, it was one step away. If I would have uploaded it anywhere, then I would have been a pirate. I would have pirated the game.
Yeah.
I would have stolen the media and put it online. And I don't want to do that. That's not the
this
point.
This is law versus how you feel about it.
Well, it's white hat and gray and black hat.
Black
you know,
hat,
white
yeah.
hat is I'm doing
my hat
that because...
My hat gets a little dirty from time to time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's get some smudges.
Anyway... So that was a hardware mod. Let's talk about the cosmetic, because we've been talking about functional mods.
LEDs and everything!
So
why
lights,
not?
So lights or custom case designs or whatever, you know.
I actually modded on my old TI-83 Silver Edition. I am a nerd. I had the TI-83 Plus Silver Edition.
It had an extra, like, 256 kilobytes of RAM.
It had double the regular memory. So whatever
it had
it
a
was.
Full megabyte of memory.
It was pretty awesome.
It could run
assembly. I could put so many games on that. It was ridiculous. But I'd actually done a hardware mod on it. I took it apart because I had a clear or a translucent case. It, yeah. It was silvery. Get it? Huh. Then I put blue LEDs all over it and connected that to the battery and put a switch on the bottom.
That's pretty awesome.
So it was pointless, but you could turn it on. It would glow blue.
I bet you were the coolest nerd in calculus class.
You know it.
It was awesome.
And then it blew up after that, and I switched over to my T89 Titanium Edition.
So those are cosmetic, dude. That thing could do derives.
Like, why do I even have a brain anymore?
Yeah. So those are all cosmetic, you know. They don't really do anything other than look cool. But then there's functional mods, like replacing the fans, replacing your thermal grease.
What were the tornadoes? You remember those?
Oh, the tornadoes were so loud.
They're 80-millimeter fans that spin at, 10,000 RPMs.
I know some people, they take and they put water coolers on their Xbox 360s because why not? And that's cool, you know. They took and they... Ben Heck is a functional modder. He does a lot of really awesome functional modding where they took, you know, a PS3 apart and they put that, an inverter, a charge pack, a TV or a laptop screen, all in a big Pelican case.
Oh, that sounds so
awesome.
And
they made it so that this thing could be dropped out of, an airplane and parachute down and open it up and you can play for, 2 hours. It was really, really cool.
Oh,
it's on Revision 3.
I need that, just in case.
Watch Revision 3.
There's a lot of good things on Revision 3.
Oh, yeah, no, Hack Tip. That's a totally other show. What are better shows than...
I think Hack 0.5 is on Revision 3 these days.
Yeah, it is. What are better shows than this show? That's the thing.
Why aren't we on Revision 3?
The HD Nation's, off the air, I think. They stopped doing it. Yeah, both of the people still do it, both of the people still work for Revision 3. They just don't do HD Nation. Anyway, those are cosmetic and functional and hardware and software mods.
Get out, mod your stuff!
It's running long, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to play Boss Wave by Excellent, and then we're going to come back. We're going to end out the show. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This has been Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm MG.
No, I'm Red Bear.
That was Excellent with Boss Wave. We're out of time.
No.
This is it. I mean, we've got a little bit more time. We got enough time to say goodbye. And then pretty much that's
Bye.
It. You know, thank you so much for listening
for
to this
listening.
Show.
And putting up with MG.
Yeah, I know.
I know he's really tough to put up with.
You're the crutch of the show.
Pretty much. I'm the cornerstone and why we still do this.
You're the cornerstone of the building that is
that
Experience
I pay off the
Points.
Cops. So
yes, we. That. What do we do?
Don't worry. That's plausible deniability.
Oh, plausible. I have no idea what we do.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know anything.
Good job. I like how you say
good
that.
Good job and true. Anyway, yeah, so we have a website. Please check us out. What's the website, Bear?
Exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
Exppoints.com is our
site. I felt
good
about that one.
It was good. It was good. We should make that just loop that for 10 hours on YouTube. I wonder if we can do that.
I'm sure we can.
We'll lose our YouTube rights. We are going to get more active on YouTube. That's something that we need to kind of get on.
We need to plan. We need to record. If only we had a studio.
It's something...
Wait.
If only we had microphones to talk into.
Crazy.
No, it's something that, you know, we're working on this. And again, Experience Points.
I know we've been saying we're working on a lot. We are working on it. There's a lot to work on.
Yeah, because we like to plan things out. We're planners.
I'm a schemer.
We're a schemer. We scheme.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
But we... did I ever tell you how...
You want to know how I got these scars?
Dude.
Are we gonna end the show?
We were gonna
talk. That's in the show.
Yeah. No, we know. Why weren't you doing this when I was doing the Batman impression two or three weeks
know,
ago?
No, because now I'm the Joker. Kind of a weird Joker, but roll with it.
Anyway, if you want to look us up on social media,
do it.
Exppoints.com/social.
Double tap the P.
Double tap that P slash social. Patreon page is patreon.com/experience.
Give us money. We'll write things about you.
It'll be awesome. And if you have any suggestions about the show or whatever, you can email me at mg@experiencepoints or emg. I'm sorry, mg@exppoints.com.
Double tap the P.
Or redbear@exppoints.com. Double tap the P. anyway, we're here on KSLU every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. That's the time you listen to it tonight. That's the time you can listen to us next week. We'll be there. We'll have more really cool stuff. We're going to try to get a little more routine about planning these shows out.
We have a spreadsheet. And
We had a spreadsheet. We're just bad at planning. Even though we just said we're planners.
We're bad at it. We didn't say we're good at it.
That's
why it's taking so long.
We are going to do something as far as the movie night was pretty cool. I think that worked out.
That
so maybe we'll have a movie night and we'll give a little review on a movie or something. And we're going to start doing.
I still like my idea for our YouTube channel.
What was that?
That I kicked you around.
Riff
the
tracks.
Movies. yeah, the riff track.
Mystery Science Theater. MGM.
I don't even know if I can say it on the radio because it's radio and FCC regulations and such.
Yeah, but so. we can maybe do that. Anyway.
Stay tuned.
We are going to end the show out with two songs. This is Solar Sailor, the Pretty Lights remix, which is really cool. This is off the Tron Reconfigured album. This is the Daft Punk version. And then after that, 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcore. Really cool guy. We've been playing a lot of his stuff. Look at the show notes because we're going to have some really cool stuff on the show notes. I will eventually upload everything. We're gonna be doing a site redesign fairly soon. So that black background, well, it might stay, but everything else is gonna change. So just
I like it black.
Just
only work in black and that's slightly it. Darker black.
That's it. Yep. The different grays.
We're not doing shades of gray.
Oh,
In the show now.
Anyway, this is Solar Sailor by Pretty Lights Remix from Daft Punk and 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcore. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This has been Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.